Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, bringing up the curtain for a visit with two people familiar and dear to us all, Betty and Bob Drake. Betty and Bob received the shock of their lives when Evelyn Lewis walked in and announced that she had given up all intentions of marrying Sam Carter, the young senator whom she had been trying to hijack into marrying her. Bob's first reaction was that this was just another one of Evelyn's schemes. But Betty sensed that there was something in back of the girl's decision, especially since Evelyn said that she was not planning to leave Monroe immediately. We find the three of them now in the Drake living room. Betty and Bob still trying to discover if Evelyn is telling the truth, and if she is, why.
Now that I've broken the good news to you, I've got to be going.
Well, all I can say is you certainly make quick decisions.
I thought you'd be pleased to know.
So you don't want to marry Sam?
Well, you sound disappointed, Betty.
Well, not exactly, but...
I hope Sam isn't too disappointed.
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll break the news to him gently.
I don't quite understand it, Evelyn.
Well, you mean you don't believe me, Betty?
Well, I suppose if I knew why...
I just can't marry Sam. We'd never be happy.
Is that the reason for your decision?
Well, it's a good enough reason, Betty.
Marriage is such a serious step for a girl.
Does that mean you've stopped caring for Sam?
Yes, in a way. I had to stop caring for him when I realized that I had to give him up.
Well, that was very sensible of you, Evelyn.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I knew you'd understand.
Oh, I don't, but it's perfectly all right.
But, Bob, you're the one who first made me realize what a stupid, thoughtless girl I was.
Me?
Well, you were so wise, so understanding when you spoke to me last night.
When Bob spoke to you?
At first, I refused to believe the things Bob said, that it was a mistake for me to marry Sam and that I was just throwing myself away. I love Sam so much, and I wanted him to love me the same way. I just couldn't bear to think that Bob was right.
Well, you must have been very eloquent last night, dear.
But I told you, you know what happened, Betty.
You must forgive me, Bob. I admit it was a shock to me to be spoken to so plainly.
But I didn't.
It wasn't until later, until I had a chance to think about it, that your words came back to me, and I realized how true they were. And once I realized that, well, I couldn't go on, could I?
Well, of course not.
You sort of knocked the bottom out of my world for a while, Bob. But I'm grateful to you.
Well, Evelyn, I was just trying to make you see things my way.
Oh, you've succeeded.
Bob can be very convincing.
He convinced me, Betty. And from now on, everybody ought to be happy. Especially Sam.
Evelyn, will you be staying with Margaret Jameson during your entire visit here?
Oh, no. I imposed on Margaret long enough. I'll probably move to one of the hotels soon.
Well, I hope you have a pleasant time.
But I mean to keep in touch with you. That is, if you let me.
Of course we'll let you.
I know so few people here.
Well, you haven't been here very long.
Well, goodbye.
You will tell Sam. I know it'll be a load off his mind. And to tell the truth, it's a load off my mind, too. I don't think I really wanted to get married after all.
Well, now, don't you worry about Sam, Evelyn.
Goodbye, Evelyn.
Thanks again, Bob. I do. I hope I see you soon.
Yeah. Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh. That's something I didn't expect.
Neither did I.
Say, we ought to call Sam down and tell him. This calls for some sort of a celebration.
No, Bob, don't call Sam yet.
Why not?
I wonder what it really means.
Well, you're not very bright this evening, darling. Didn't you hear Evelyn Lewis say that she's given up every idea of marrying Sam?
Yes, I heard her say it, all right.
You don't believe it?
Oh, yes, I believe it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I've been trying to make myself believe it.
I don't think Sam is going to have any more trouble with Evelyn.
Well, don't you think Sam ought to know?
But, you know, she did say a lot of things that I don't believe.
What?
I don't think she reached that decision all by herself.
Well, Betty, I did try to make her understand.
And I don't think her giving up Sam had anything to do with what you said, Doc.
Well, now, Betty, if you think that I want credit...
No. That girl worries me.
But our worries are over, darling. She's not going to bother Sam anymore. We know that.
Darling, didn't you feel it, too?
Feel what?
That Evelyn was having an awfully good time telling us that she was through with Sam.
Well, maybe the girl was relieved that she'd come to her senses, that's all.
No. No, all the time she was putting on this dramatic little act of hers...
Oh, that girl can't help being dramatic, Betty.
Well, I had a feeling that she was laughing up her sleeve.
Darling, you're just a naturally suspicious person.
But why should she decide to leave Sam alone all of a sudden?
Evelyn Lewis doesn't have to have reasons for doing things. She just does them.
Well, I wish she hadn't enjoyed telling us about it so much.
Oh, darling, don't begrudge her a little thing like that. Oh, here comes Sam now.
Oh,
wait till
dear.
He hears the news. He's going to have as good a time listening to it as Evelyn had telling it. Sam!
Maybe Betty is right. Evelyn certainly didn't seem very heartbroken when she made her great renunciation. I wonder what Sam Carter will think about Evelyn's sudden change. Well, anyway, Evelyn certainly seemed to be in a very happy frame of mind as she hurried from the Drake home straight to Anderson's office, where we find her now talking to Anderson's right-hand man, Hap Davis.
I don't mind waiting a few minutes. I'm sure Martin will be here.
You're a fast worker, aren't you? Calling the boss Martin?
Martin and I are very good friends. It's perfectly all right for you to go, Mr. Davis. I don't mind waiting alone.
Leave you in this office alone? I will not. Gonna sit right here.
All right. What should we talk about?
We don't have to talk.
Well, we can't just do nothing.
Who says I'm doing nothing?
What are you trying to do? Size me up?
Yeah.
You're such a funny person, Hap.
Now, who says you can call me Hap?
Well, you don't mind, do you? It's so much easier when people see a great deal of each other.
Say, you still staying over at Margaret's?
Yes.
Listen, can you tell me something?
I thought we'd find something to talk about, Hap. You like Margaret, don't you?
Yeah. And I'd like to know what she told you about me.
Oh, she said some very nice things about you, Hap.
You're a liar.
You're very rude.
Never mind about me. How a dame like you can get away with things just beats me.
I don't think I'm going to like you very much.
I don't like you.
You could be a little more polite.
Why should I? The boss wants to make a fuss over you. That's his business. It's got nothing to do with me.
I wish Martin would come.
I told the boss that, too. The minute I saw you, I didn't like you. I don't like the idea of you hanging around with Margaret, either.
Margaret and I happen to be old friends.
I never heard Margaret brag about it.
Hmm. Poor boy.
Are you talking about me?
Mm-hmm. I just can't help feeling sorry for you.
Yeah?
I could tell right away that you were crazy about Margaret.
Shut up.
And she doesn't even know you're alive.
I tell you to shut up.
And if she does know you're alive, I'm sure she wishes you weren't.
Say, you, if you're trying to get my goat...
Sit down, Hap. You're the most excitable person.
A dame like you can cause plenty of trouble. If you're figuring on starting any around here...
Oh, Hap, you're so funny. You sounded just like Betty and Bob Drake then.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they like me very much either, Hap.
Well, if they don't, it's the first time I ever agreed with them about anything.
Sit down, Hap. You look so uncomfortable standing there.
I'm trying to control myself.
You ought to take lessons.
Listen, no more cracks out of you about Margaret, see? Otherwise, I'll...
Oh, Hap. You wouldn't do that.
My boss said you weren't crazy. I give up.
You're not bad looking, Hap.
Listen, don't try that stuff on me, lady.
Call me Evelyn.
Why should I?
Oh, because I've got a feeling we're going to end up very good friends.
Not us.
Why not?
Well, let's just say you're not my type.
Oh, that's too bad, Hap.
I wish the boss would get here. I don't mind telling you, you give me the jitters.
I don't like you to say things like that, Hap.
Listen.
You ought to start being nice to me.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You're the kind of a dame that expects every man she meets to fall all over himself.
Oh, don't call me a dame, Hap.
A dizzy dame? And what the boss wants with you?
You ought to be more like your boss. He's got beautiful manners.
Yeah. Well, I don't need him.
Martin is very charming.
Hmm. I suppose that's the line you've been feeding him.
Oh, no.
Ah, why should I worry? A boss can look out for himself.
He worries about you, Hap. I'm sure Martin must like you.
I got my uses.
Martin likes me, too.
Hmm. I suppose you got your uses.
That's why we ought to like each other.
Listen, lady.
Don't be mean about it, Hap. I'd hate to tell Martin you don't like me. That might give him the idea that maybe you don't like him either. Understand?
What understanding have Evelyn Lewis and Martin Anderson come to that she can talk to Hap Davis like that? Is Evelyn making up one of her tall stories again just to see what effect it has on Hap? To see what she can find out about Hap and Martin Anderson? Or has she some other motive? Will Betty and Bob soon discover that in Evelyn, they have met the most dangerous weapon their enemies have used yet?